This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are here with Checkpoint, giving a one-up to diversity in video games. We are a weekly broadcast examining the most exciting industry in the world, the video game industry, from a uniquely queer perspective. My name is Luke, and today I am joined in studio by Elliot.
Hi, Luke.
By Colby.
Hi, Luke.
And Hayley.
Hey.
And we are here today to have some real fun. We're going to kind of throw it back a little bit. We're going to go back in time.
Oh, the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
Start making sound effects.
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, no.
That's my traveling back in time sound.
I wish
it
we had
sounds
a...
awfully like an off-brand TARDIS.
I thought that too, actually, yeah.
Like something you get from like Costco or Aldi.
Yeah.
I'm kind of more here for the hot tub time machine, though. Like, I feel like I'd love a hot tub right now. That would be really nice. Like, spa back into...
Could we do a whole broadcast from a hot tub?
I mean, there'd be like...
Technically speaking, it would be possible.
Yeah, it'd be possible.
Would that technically be workplace harassment?
Can we only if we touch feet? And there's an awkward moment of like, whose foot is that in the spa? And you're like, do I rub it? Do I pull away?
You know, we've all been there.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Well,
you haven't lived.
You got a real future ahead of you, Hayley. I'll tell you now. But look, what we're doing today is we are going to be talking about the reason why we got into video games. So we're going to flash back to our very early video game memories.
Yeah, the what kicked off our love for video games, essentially.
Exactly right, because, I mean, we're all big gamers in this room, obviously, and we know, lots of gamers who listen to this show who, you know, and there's different types of gamers. Not everyone plays every day, but everyone has that kind of connection to video games. One of those, you know, original games that they played, maybe it was like a Nintendo back in the 90s or 80s, even maybe it was Mario, maybe it was Sonic on Sega, like maybe you had some, maybe it was like Pong or something, you know, if you're an older listener as well. There's plenty of fantastic games that were real gateways into
mature listeners,
like a fine wine.
Experienced.
Yes,
old school Sonic stands must be having a blast at the moment.
Yes, they must.
It has been a good week. Yes.
Yes, more on Sonic later on in the show, but yeah, we've got a really fun show ahead, so get in touch with us on social media and tell us about your favorite video game memories.
So you can hit us up on Facebook. We are Checkpoint Gaming. You can hit us up on Twitter or Instagram as well. We are at Checkpoint AU.
That's right. But also, as we always do, going through the big news of the week. But first...
Fiddling with joysticks and smashing the D-pad.
Tell us, have you been playing with yourself?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Love a bit of playing with yourself here on Checkpoint.
Oh no, it's begun.
It's every week. You should be used to this by now. Elliot, I know you often like to get your indie feet wet.
I do. That's a weird way to say it.
Is
especially
it?
After the whole spa conversation. But
okay. Yeah.
Look, I have
it's a
been
water theme,
I have been wetting my feet with indie goodness.
No, I hear it now, yep.
Yeah, it's all soppy.
This is so weird. We're going to get so many weird listeners if we keep mentioning feet, guys.
Oh, no, we'll become that late night. Anyway, let's not go into that. Yeah, the foot show. You're here with the foot show. I have been playing The Suicide of Rachel Foster. I mentioned it last week during coming out, but I couldn't really talk about what, you know, my experience with the game was because I was under embargo.
Yes.
However, that has lifted.
Now you're free.
I am free.
Like a bird.
I have got my full review up at checkpointgaming.net. And basically, this is a walking sim in the vein of something like Gone Home. It is most closely resembling Gone Home because you are literally going back to your childhood home, exploring the past through visual cues and learning information. You really are uncovering kind of a mystery of your family's past. It is dark and mature themes. We're talking about your, and this isn't much of a spoiler, this is the premise of the game, but your father cheated on your mother with an underage girl, Rachel Foster, who then went on to kill herself.
Wow.
And you are kind of reliving that trauma wanting to get away from it initially, but being stuck in this old family hotel and needing to relive it and uncovering more information about it as well. I thought the kind of narrative and the premise of it was fairly captivating, and the mystery was fairly captivating as well, which kept me going. Unfortunately, a lot of other elements within the game just kind of let me down a bit. I really didn't like the protagonist, Nicole. She was one of your first interactions is with a FEMA, which is the Federal Emergency something agency, basically warning you to get out of this hotel, to stay within the hotel, because there's this snowstorm, and if you leave, you are going to die. There's no other towns around.
Right.
And you're basically like, I don't listen to no man. I've never had somebody tell me what to do before, and I'm not going to start now. And so you just try to leave, and he's like, you're going to kill yourself. What are you doing? Anyway, she just comes across as very, very unlikable.
That's very strange. Like, yeah, okay, it was like a boyfriend or something, but if it's like the actual emergency,
yes.
You know, official...
thought exactly. I'm like, girl, like, I'm all for female empowerment, but you're doing feminism wrong. But, yeah. So a few hiccups definitely in the game, but overall, I'm glad I played through it.
Yes. Suicide of Rachel Foster. The
Suicide of Rachel Foster.
Very cool. I've been playing a game, Elliot, that I know you reviewed last month on Checkpoint. Journey to the Savage Planet.
Yes.
And this is a fun little one. So I am very glad that I've gotten the chance to get stuck into this. So you explore this savage planet, so to speak. Not very savage, though. It's kind of...
No, it's quite comical and lovely.
Yeah, it's like colourful and beautiful. Like, it's kind of the whole thing is kind of a joke, which I guess is kind of the point of the game.
Yes.
You know, the entire time, I love that you have this kind of person back at home base or whatever, this sort of computerized sounding voice who is kind of guiding you through, but also doing this running commentary on the stupid stuff that you do as well.
She's very funny.
She's very funny. You know, when you die, you sort of get respawned and come back to life, and she's like, welcome back! Like, it's really, it's very tongue-in-cheek. There's lots of little weird creatures you can interact with, and I'm enjoying it. I didn't realize I'd powered my way through to right near the end. I messaged you the other night being like, I'm stuck on this annoying boss, and you were like, that's the last boss.
Yeah. And so you haven't overcome that yet?
No, now I've gone back, because as per your advice, I haven't explored this planet enough. So I've gone to try and find hidden secrets, get new upgrades for my gear and my technology so that I can therefore find other secrets. It's one of those games where, you know, you start in an area and you can see in that starting area all these different paths that you could take if you had the appropriate gear to do so. So it's quite limited at the start, but as you get more equipment, you can then sort of explore and do a lot more and find more secrets. So I am enjoying that component of it. It's a really fun little game.
It is a really fun game. I really appreciated it. I thought it didn't quite live up to the standard that it set in the initial kind of area. I feel like kind of the further you explored, maybe the worse the set pieces got.
Yeah.
But that is quite a nitpick in what is a really, really good game.
I will say games often do that, though. They sort of lead from the front. You have this first section of the game's like really strong to get you sucked in, and then, you know, the rest of it doesn't quite live up to that standard. And I did find there's a lot of, like, first-person platforming in this, and it's not really precise. It's
See,
kind of
totally
floaty.
That's totally my thing. I love first-person platforming.
No, I do, but when it's
precise... I know
precise,
I'm weird, but...
No, but, like, give me, like, Mirror's Edge, though. Don't give me, like, this floaty, like, am I landing on the platform or not type feeling.
The kind of feeling where it's like, am I in space? What is gravity?
Yeah,
oh, no.
Kind
I missed the platform.
Jumping Flash style.
Yeah, and like my partner Matt was watching me play, and every jump I did, he's like, I didn't think you were going to make that, because it just doesn't look like you're going to make the jump. Whilst there are other games like Mirror's Edge and stuff where I feel like it's quite Dying Light as well, where you make a jump and you feel that kind of weight, and you're like, I'm definitely going to land
this. Oh, it's
this.
Definitely a floatier game.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got jetpacks, and the gravity is different.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really enjoyed it, though. Yep. It's really cute. I really recommend you check it out. If you want something a bit different in a video game space full of like serious themes and violence and mature content, it's kind of nice to jump around and like kick a little bird that flies and explodes into goop and colour. And you know what I mean? Like, it's just silly,
yeah.
Which I really appreciate. Haley, what have you been playing?
I have been revisiting an underappreciated classic.
Right.
Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah.
It's very one of underrated game.
Definitely an underrated game. I don't think it got the time to shine that it deserved, but that's another matter entirely. Essentially, you play as this character who has basically you'd faced off against this dragon, it's stolen your heart, and now you have to go and slay that dragon, and it's...
Stolen your heart, like, literally, or yeah, more literally. Like, oh, just, I love just, this dragon, it's stolen
it,
my it's, heart.
It, like, shows up on the beach while you're, you know, doing your fisherman thing, and it just, like, oh, silly human, you've had the goal to attack me, well, do you know what? Pluck, I'm just gonna Mine. Take your heart. It just right. reaches in and it's like, now you have to fight me and we're tied together forever.
So not a romance novel then?
Not really.
Okay.
There is like hints of romance in it, but you know, it's very much a go slay the dragon game. One of the things I do love about this game though is the art style. It's very Capcom meets like medieval drawings. So, like, wolves are done like you would see on those kind of medieval, weird tapestry paintings, and everything is very much based off that kind of style of art interpretation. So all the wolves are really, like, weird and thin and lanky. Not, they don't look like wolves at all. They look like long snake dogs and stuff like that.
I mean, that kind of sounds cool, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
It's very much a strange artistic rendering of what fantasy is through a kind of medieval lens. The game is broken. It is not balanced. It is not a balanced game at all.
Now, are you playing the one they did for the Switch, the reboot type one they did?
No, I'm playing this on PC.
Oh, okay, right.
I do hope everyone goes out and gets the Switch version because it's, you know, this game is great.
Yeah, because so, I got it on Switch when it came out last year and it was one that I missed the first time around. Mm. And I'm an RPG lover, so I was... had the opportunity to kind of try it out later on. And look, it was made a while ago, some stuff is definitely dated. Like, some stuff doesn't quite hold up. But it is still a really good RPG. It has some really cool ideas, like the dudes that fight with you alongside you.
Oh,
kind
the
of.
Pawns?
The pawns, yeah.
And I love how, like, their whole, oh, they're like, you know, brainwashed, unthinking servants kind of plays into the narrative later on and stuff. Like, they've really thought that stuff out, which is really nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, pawns are fantastic.
Yeah, Dragon's Dogma is definitely one worth looking into. If you like a good RPG, a bit of a mature one. Colby, what about yourself?
I've been giving the Switch a bit of love as well. I've been playing a game called 1980X, which is about, you know, set in the 80s. Teen finds themselves, you know, at the local arcade through the games they play. So we've got, you know, there's a, you know, and basically it goes through the games with a narrative in between. So you've got a beat 'em up like Streets of Rage, you've got a shooter, you've got a racing game like Outrun, ninja game like Shinobi, and a dungeon crawler RPG. Highlights soundtrack is really amazing. Great soundtrack. The game itself looks really good as well. Really bright colors, lots of neon, as you'd expect. You know, I guess one sort of criticism I'd have, and, you know, I try not to be too harsh on indie developers because I know that, you know, these crews spend a lot, they put huge amounts of effort. You know, we interview them, we know how hard they work, but, you know, I find some of the games they sort of play like, you know, you've sort of seen photos of what the game was back in the day and you've tried to sort of emulate that. Whereas, you know, so it's like they don't really capture, you know, how the games that they're imitating actually sort of play in some cases, which is a bit of a miss. But overall, it's really solid. I'd definitely recommend giving it a go. It's a short game.
One of those things too, where when you're trying to do multiple genres, you know, sometimes you don't smash them all out of the park. Mm. You know, maybe it's better to stick with one strong
Jack
thing
of all
rather,
trades, master of none.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly right. But, I mean, it sounds really cool though. So 1980X. Mm. Nice one. That's what we've been playing this week. Stay with us here on Checkpoint. The news is coming up.
Hey, listen!
Want to keep up with the latest gaming news, reviews, previews, and more? Check out our website, checkpointgaming.net. That's checkpointgaming.net. Achievement unlocked.
Yes, head to the website right now. You can read some amazing content, including Elliot's full review of The Suicide of Rachel Foster and Charlie's full review of the outstanding Dreams for PlayStation 4. It's time for the news.
Here we go!
The games industry constantly evolving and exciting new things around every corner. It can be hard to keep up.
That's why Checkpoint is here with all the biggest gaming details of the week and the stories that matter to you. It's time for the news.
It is exactly time for the news. And look, first up, we should do a shout out as well, because right now on our social media, Checkpoint is running a really cool competition to win some Destiny Pride merchandise.
Yeah, this is freaking awesome, actually. So Bungie, And Checkpoint are teaming up to give away some Pride content from Destiny and Destiny 2. And if you are a fan of these games, you should definitely check out our social media pages, because not only do you get like this cool Pride pin, but there's also in-game goodies that are attached to it as well.
Yeah, and it's one of those things as well, like, it's not even, like, if you don't like Destiny, this is still a really cool prize,
because
pin is, like, this gorgeous, like, rainbow. I'd wear it too. It's really cool. It is that time of year. We've got Mardi Gras happening in Sydney very, very soon, so it's time to get your Pride on and enter the competition. Mm. All you have to do is go onto our social media on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and tell us which Destiny character you think would look best in a Pride parade, and why.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely enter. You've got a great chance of coming away with a prize here. Facebook page is Checkpoint Gaming. Twitter and Instagram is at Checkpoint AU. If you enter on all three platforms, maybe you've increased your odds.
Yeah. Now, into the news of the week. Now, Persona 5 is undoubtedly one of the most popular RPGs in recent memory. It's a very, very good game. And Persona 5 Royale is releasing on the 31st of March. It's a re-release expanded on the original with some new content and new features. Persona 5 came out about 3 years ago, so this is like the ultimate edition of the game, basically. A good chance for those who missed it the first time around to jump
in. Is this also the first time it's coming to Switch?
No.
That's not confirmed yet.
Okay. So they did a big survey where they're like, hey, what games do you want to come to Switch? And all the Persona games were in that survey.
Yeah.
But no, the one you're thinking of is Persona 5 Scramble.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, Persona 5 Royale should be coming to Switch, and that's what everyone wants.
But so far, just
But they haven't announced it yet.
Yeah. Okay.
But it makes sense with Joker now being in Smash Brothers
Yeah, that's kind of where I was thinking.
It's a natural fit.
Yeah.
But not yet.
Okay.
But look, it's kind of PlayStation, but they have vowed to remove some homophobic scenes which were in the original game. Now, these scenes, should be noted, they weren't removed from the Japanese version of Persona 5 Royale that released late last year, but they have been removed from the Western release. Now, it's interesting that they have taken this step. It's a good thing they've taken this step. A bit of context around what the scenes are. So you've got these essentially two very stereotypical gay men that approach you at multiple points in the game. There's two of them, and essentially they kind of try and hit on your character and try and kind of, you know, I guess, suck them in and, you know, get them to go off with them and stuff like that. This is problematic mostly because the characters you play as are high school students.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So they're underage. Okay, so you've got these two older gay men who are basically being predatory on these high school boys. And that's, you know, quite problematic. They say things like, oh, you know, we're the fashion police. If you don't answer our questions, we'll take you away. And, you know, things like that. So it is meant to be played as a bit tongue-in-cheek and a bit silly. But there's no doubt that it is still a very harmful representation.
Yeah. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke part of the Persona games. But obviously the punchline of that joke is, haha, gay men, look how funny they can be. Look how predatory they are. And I don't know. It doesn't make me comfortable watching those scenes, especially because it is reinforcing this kind of old stereotype that's pretty gross.
And those old stereotypes and these problematic depictions of queer people is a problem that the Persona series has pretty much had from the start. So I'm kind of glad that at the very least they're recognizing that Western audiences aren't really here for it. And they're taking it out there. Like, they should be removing it from all versions of the game, but they probably they won't go that far.
I mean, it's interesting because it is about culturally speaking, right? I think that, you know, Japanese game developers and animes and things like that, they often do treat this kind of, you know, quotation marks gay stuff as like a bit of a joke. We've seen plenty of gay villains in video games, or very flamboyant villains where it's heavily implied that they're gay. And, you know, there's this big problem around, you know, that gay characters are always the bad guys or the evil ones twirling their mustache in their fabulous clothes. And I think that, you know, Persona 5, it's a shame that they were in it was in there in the first place, especially given the game is such a fantastic narrative experience overall.
It's so good.
It's one of my favorite games. But yeah, I will say though, to be honest with you, and this is maybe just because I'm used to seeing this kind of trash in all forms of media. When I played Persona 5 and these scenes happened, I didn't really think anything of it. You know, like I just played through it in the original Persona 5 and just went, oh, okay, righto, they're gay dudes. Cool. Like I didn't think about, oh, I'm a high school student. Oh, this is not okay. Oh, this is stereotypical. I just kind of went through the dialogue like no big deal. But I think it's obviously worth that they've decided this is not okay and they've made that decision to do so. But, yeah. I mean, it is interesting. Is it too little too late, or should they have left it in so it's the same as what it was originally?
Again, I feel potentially it is too little too late. We're talking about the Persona team, who have had a huge track record of homophobia and transphobia with their games like Catherine and the previous entries in the Persona series and stuff. Like, at this point, they need an entire culture shift within that studio, but it is a step.
Well, it's interesting because the change is actually coming from
what
is essentially the localization team, the team who are in charge of bringing this to a Western audience and making sure it's appropriate and translated for a Western audience. And it's those people who were like, oh, you know, those scenes? Like, I reckon we changed those scenes. And Atlas gave basically the go-ahead, yeah, do that. But, yeah, too little too late? No, I don't know. Like, any change... any positive change is a good change. Like, whether it comes slow or fast, like, obviously we'd prefer if it was never there to begin with, but I'm glad they're addressing it, and this is a good opportunity for them to address it. But it does suck that the exact same game, Persona 5 Royal, in Japan, does not have these scenes removed, because now we know, okay, localization team doing this to make sure Western audiences are happy, not development team doing this to make sure they're being appropriate and, you know, forward-thinking.
Yeah, I think in the end, like, I'd like to stop being surprised when I see positive representations of queer people in Japanese media. I'd just change your approach to this, please.
And we'll see what happens in the future. Obviously, Persona is a franchise that will have future games and spin-offs and things like that. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how they handle these types of decisions in the future, that's for sure. Now, this is a cool one. Sonic the Hedgehog released very recently here in cinemas and around the world. And it has smashed box office expectations. Now, this is a funny one because you'll remember when Sonic originally had its trailer released mid-last year, it got completely roasted because Sonic didn't look like Sonic. He looked a bit weird.
He had baby teeth.
He had weird teeth, and the eyes were not quite right, and he looked awful.
And the hands.
The hands, the whole thing. And they infamously went and said, okay, we're going to delay the release date and change his look entirely. And they did that. They changed his look, made him look much better. And now the Sonic movie has broken the record for a video game movie's three-day opening in the U.S., pulling in $57 million. This is compared to the recent biggest video game opening of Detective Pikachu late last year, which brought in $54.3 million.
Now, I'm going to let Colby talk, but I want to issue a challenge to poor old Colby, because he has seen the movie, and he is a massive Sonic fan. And in fact, we're going to do an entire intimates dedicated to the Sonic movie that will be coming up. There's a little teaser for anybody who listens to our podcasts, but... Colby, I want you to talk about this without giving your opinion on the movie itself. I want to keep that for our intimate chat. Is that something you reckon you're able to do? Can you keep?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's doing super well. So, I think it's made it's up to $135 million now.
Just
so
smashing it.
It made its budget back within a couple of days. I think it's number one in the USA, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, pretty much everywhere it's showing at the moment. It's not yet out in like Japan and Asia and other parts of the world, which is fantastic. And, you know, the critical response has been pretty positive, 95% audience rating. And apparently they're picking it to stay at the top for another week as well. So it's going to fend off Harrison Ford's new movie.
Did anybody see this coming? I could not have guessed the Sonic movie would do well.
You know what's interesting as well is I've had people that are non-gamers approaching me like at work, you know, because I've got a Sonic mug on my desk. And they're like, you know, is the movie worth seeing? And it's interesting because they're like, well, you know, I've got a six-year-old. Do you think it's okay for a six-year-old? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I mean, I would have thought it was clearly a family movie, but, you know, clearly, you know, the mainstream aren't quite too sure. So I think it's going to have legs.
It's video game involvement.
I mean, it's interesting because obviously Sonic is such an old school character that the fans of Sonic are probably, you know, 20 year old plus, right? And yet the movie does seem to be targeting a family demographic, but it's obviously working.
Yeah. Well, the other sort of strange thing about it is at the moment, he's probably a bigger film star than he is a video game hero, because his games really, for the last 20 years, don't sell in the volumes that, you know, Mario, any of the, I think they usually do about 1 million copies or 2 million max. So the people going to see the movie, clearly, you know, more people are going to see it than have actually bought the games for a long time. So it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good that they changed his design, too. I think that's really what saved the film. Like, congratulations to those animators. Too bad they all lost their jobs. Ooh, that was rough. But, but yeah, no, it seems to be doing incredibly well, which certainly surprised me as someone who has a very interesting relationship with the Sonic fandom.
Well, I think that with Sonic, I believe that, you know, it is an old generation thing because Sonic's games have not been good over the last, you know, 15, 20 years at least. And you can argue that if you want to, but like they essentially haven't done well in the video game Sonic World, apart from maybe pairing it with Mario and a few of their spin-offs. So, I mean, this is kind of reintroducing him to a new audience. And I mean, could this lead to a new Sonic game and a resurgence with a Sonic game down the track? You know, could they now take this win and this success financially and then turn that into another video game success story? Could we see the next generation being the one that Sonic makes a resurgence where he started?
That would be nice. I mean, we saw Sonic Mania come out, but that was a game mainly by fans. So it would be nice to see Sega be like, yeah, you know what? We're going to actually make good Sonic games again. And so you'll stop, like, pestering us about those first three.
Well, either that or, you know, because I've sort of thought, you know, if he can be successful in that space, more successful than he is in the video game space, perhaps it's time for him to just be a movie star, have a franchise there, and Sega can make their money that way.
So
and don't
many
worry
toys.
About the games.
So much merchandise.
Sonic the Movie Star.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to see. That is the news of the week, but stay with us here on Checkpoint, broadcasting on the Community Radio Network, because we're going to be going back and talking about the reason why we got stuck into video games. That's right, going through our early gaming memories. What were the games that actually hooked us in the first place and got us to be the gamers that we are today? It's all coming up here on Checkpoint.
You've been listening to a Joycast of Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.